Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neighboring Well podcast. Today, we're going to have Mom kind of lead the discussion, and then we'll kind of just go from there.
Yeah, so we had this thought. When you pass people and you say, how are you? And most of the time, you're not actually asking them how they're doing. You're just coming up with something to say to acknowledge that you saw them and you're still walking by. So we kind of want to talk about maybe some different options to actually build connection and show people you care without taking a lot of time. So I wanted to start out with an experience that someone had that was telling me about. So a friend of mine was going through a really hard time, like years later, mentioned to a group of ladies that every time someone passed her in the hall and said, how are you? It hurt so bad because she knew they weren't going to stop and actually listen to how she was doing. Partly because the place, the location wasn't necessarily where you would just like go into it, but yeah. Also because they were still kind of like walking as they said it, you know, like, hey, how are you? Like still walking. And I totally know that. I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
And so it got me thinking, how often are we saying something like that and not actually wanting to engage with that person? And maybe that could be more hurtful than we thought. And so it made me think of another friend. We went to a church gathering and I had moved tables and went and sat by her. And she said, how are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm good. And she turned and looked at me and just kind of looked at me for a minute. And she said, no, really, how are you doing? And I just thought, oh, like she really wants to know. She wants me, like she's looking at me, trying to engage and read my body language and really wants to know how I'm doing. And it just kind of struck me. This is so different than most people that say, how are you doing? And I gave the normal answer, oh, I'm good, without any thought. Like maybe I wasn't good. And actually that night, I really wasn't doing that great. But it wasn't like anything major was coming to mind that I wanted to divulge, you know, at this party.
Right.
But so it kind of got me thinking about these interactions we have with people and how we could change it maybe. Not be perfect. I mean, there's still going to be times when you're in a hurry, you walk by and you just say, hey, but maybe there are times when we could kind of stop and choose a different phrase.
Well, and it kind of reminds me, I was, so I celebrated my anniversary a couple days ago. And one of the things that Bryson and I did was we went to this Italian restaurant that is super, like really, really, really good. The chef or cook there is, he's from Genova, Italy.
Oh, wow. And
so he makes, and Genova is where pesto was like invented, basically.
And like so, focaccia, right? Our niece is there right now in Italy, and she was just saying that focaccia, all the good stuff.
Yeah. So they have focaccia bread, which was amazing. And then Bryson got this like pesto and I got, it was like a walnut based sauce. I'm not going to try to pronounce the names because I know I'm going to butcher it, but it was amazing. And it kind of got us thinking about just how different their relationship with food is versus like our relationship with food and how that affects their relationships with each other. I think these little things that we do in America, like saying, how are you? Or, you know, waving to your neighbor or like even meals seem to be a little bit rushed and a little bit like not genuine all the time.
Yes. Yes.
And
I think that you've like really hit the nail on the head because it's that sitting and being in the moment versus rushing through to get to the next thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's kind of one of those things that I don't think I fully realized you don't have to do it that way until like recently. You know, I was talking with a friend and he's gone to Italy several times. And she was telling me basically in Italy, people take lunch breaks during their work day. And what they do is they take 2 hours and they go home and they eat with their family a full meal. And then they go back to work.
That's the same in Spain. Yeah, when I lived in Spain, it was just like that. Everything shuts down, all businesses, and they go. And usually their family was not immediate. It was like grandma's, grandpa's, bigger family, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's something so cool about connecting in that way. And there's so many little opportunities that we're missing, you know, just by being too rushed, or even just by not taking things for what they are, not realizing the gem of like what we're actually doing, the meaning behind all these little rituals that we perform, you know?
Yeah. And I think some of it too is, besides the being in a hurry, we're a little uncomfortable with awkward situations. We don't know what to say. And so we kind of want to get out of them quickly. So if you know someone's struggling with something, but you just don't know what to say, you kind of, I mean, if you're honest, you don't really want to know. You're just like, I need to acknowledge them. Hey, how are you? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, that's hard. And then you kind of move on. So I think getting comfortable with being awkward while you're getting to the good stuff, you know, be awkward in that initial interaction, greeting, while you're getting to the meat of the conversation or the interaction. Just like my friend, I mean, she stared at me for a second and I was like, uh-oh, like, what? Is there something
what did
on
I
me?
Do wrong?
But she was just really looking at me like, are you okay? How are you really? You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it takes a little more time to get past that awkwardness and to get to the comfort and the like real meaningful moments, I guess.
You know, it really does remind me too of this idea that I've kind of heard tossed around, where it's just beholding people and like what that really means. Mm-hmm. I worked with a life coach / therapist for a little while, and this is something that she talked about a lot, was what does it mean to really behold someone? And it's something that we don't really think about that often, because behold is kind of an old word, you know? It's kind of like something that you can read in really old
scripture
books, like the
or something.
Bible or, right. Yeah. And so there's actually a lot more meaning to that. And the more I've kind of like learned about it, bits and pieces, the more I think this is something that could really benefit society in general, is just understanding how to behold someone. And so one of the main things that she said is beholding someone, first of all, like you have to look at them and you have to kind of take them in, which is kind of like what you're saying your friend was doing. You know, you can't, you can look at something, like you can see a really pretty picture, or you can walk through like a whole, like you can go to the Met and see all of this beautiful art, you know? And if you don't take a minute to really just take it in and behold it and understand why the artist created that, where, like, what are the little contexts that you wouldn't know unless you really sat there and knew more about that. You know, there's a lot that you can really stand to gain from just trying to take it in. And I think we need to do the same thing with people a little bit more. Like, I feel like if we treated people as like these pieces of art that have a story, they have, you know, a background, they have context, there's all these things that they do, and there's like a reason that they do them. And sometimes they don't even know the reason. And so like understanding that and like asking people about that, I think is something that really is valuable. You know, like it makes them feel good, which is great.
Right.
But it's like honestly valuable to you, like to just do that for someone and understand like somebody like that.
Well, and I love that, because that makes you, if you're looking at someone as a piece of art or a work of art, you're going to look differently. So the shadows or the hard things, when you look at someone and think, oh gosh, they look a little rough. When you look at a painting that way, and it's got some really dark colors or you know, hard images, you're not usually judging it in a way to say if it's good or bad. You're like, wow, I wonder what the artist was thinking there. I wonder why did they choose those colors? And maybe if we thought of people that way, oh gosh, I wonder what are they going through right now? What's that like? And why did they choose to wear what they're wearing today? And just being curious. I think curiosity is better than judgment. You know, if you choose to be curious about people, then maybe it's easier to behold them. And so I love those two things, beholding and people as works of art.
Well, and that's such a cool idea. Imagine, you know, if everybody, because the mindset that you put yourself in right before you walk into an art museum is a lot different than the mindset you put yourself in right before you walk into like a political debate or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I learned about this in communications, I think it was speech and debate communications, like BYUI online class in high school.
Yeah.
There's like different like areas of listening. And one of them is you're listening to like figure out, is this right or wrong? You're listening to like judge, you know, between two things, like compare them and contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is you're just listening because you're curious. Someone's just telling you a story. That's all it is. It's not like debate between anything. They're just like telling you something that's interesting, like a fact. And so I think that we often, for some reason, when we're talking with people, tend to go more towards listening to understand if they're good or bad, or if they like compare them to something else in our mind. You know?
Right or wrong, right?
Mm-hmm. And like, it would be really cool if we just decided to go out into the world like we were going out into an art gallery, and all these people are pieces of art, and there's something that's, you know, really intriguing. And like, even if you see someone that you really don't like, there's a lot of art out there that I personally do not understand why it's famous. But
yeah, you'd never hang it in your house.
Yeah, yeah. Or even like if you think of like there's art out there where it's just like a dot on a paper. I've seen that, like where it's just a blank and there's like, you know, that pinpoint in the middle and it's famous. And it's like so many people can stand there and stare at it and are so intrigued by it. And it's like only because they know the context, only because they're like, why is it like this? What made the artist like famous? What made the artist want to do this? What, how does this have meaning to the artist? You know,
right, the background story.
Yeah. And asking that question, how does this have meaning to the artist, is such a good, like, okay, if you're sitting down with someone and you're talking to them and they bring up something that you don't necessarily agree with, or you think is ugly, or you think is, you know, boring or basic even, if you ask yourself, why does this have meaning to this person? All of a sudden, you could sit there for hours taking them in, you know?
And maybe you would need hours, you know? Maybe some of these things that we're going to talk about aren't for every situation, but maybe you start it off and then you plan another time to have those hours, you know, when someone needs that. It makes me think of a time, Connor, he's my youngest son. We had made these homeless bags. We have a kind of, I don't know if it's a big homeless population, but we had decided to make these bags and just put hygiene products and some gift cards and different things in them. And so we went down to this area near the homeless shelter that we could hand these out. And there was this guy sitting on the corner outside of the shelter, and maybe like a block away. And so I went with Connor and he handed him the bag. And the guy says, "Is this your mom?" And Connor said, "Yeah." And he gave him this whole talk about how important mothers are and to listen to his mother. And he wished he'd listened to his mother when he was younger. And I mean, it was just like, I could have said the same, Connor, you need to listen to me, you know, and it would not have had the same effect. But this guy who had kind of been down and out was teaching my son this lesson that he received better than if I had said it. And I just thought, gosh, how many times have I walked by and judge somebody like that, mm-hmm. not knowing their background. And I'm not saying everybody's safe or someone that you would want, you know, to do that with. I wouldn't have let Connor go out there by himself and talk to somebody right. that I didn't know their background. But, you know, being with him, it was just an interesting reminder. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this guy, you know, if I only knew his story. He told us a little bit of it, but it was like he recognized some hard things in his life and things he wished he'd changed. And he was teaching my son that. And so I think there's so many opportunities like that of people that we just don't know what's going on or what's gone on in their life. And maybe we want to talk about next how to find out, how to get past the how are you in the hall. And, you know, yeah. one of the things I had written in my notes was how to be genuine in 5 minutes or less. That's something
how to
you
be
can
genuine
say.
For dummies.
Exactly. How to be genuine. So I was thinking about, you know, what could you say if you run across someone in the grocery store or in the hall at church or something? You know, you don't have a ton of time, you've got things to do, but also you want to be that person that when people see you, they just feel loved. You know, however much time you mm-hmm. have, they just feel loved. So I had written down a couple things to talk about. And one was the importance of knowing people by name and knowing mm-hmm. their kids or their spouse or who they're dating so that you can specifically ask about them. You know, yeah. ways that they are thriving or things they're going through. I think about the example of my two friends, you know, the one that I feel like was really looking at me, I teach her son in a class. So I could have easily said, ask something about him and how's he doing in this subject at school? Or he mentioned this in class on Sunday. Did you know that? Or, you know, like there's just little mm-hmm. things. If you happen to know someone and you're just having a quick interaction, call them by name and ask them something specific about their life or relationships.
Yeah. You know, something else that I think I am very impressed by, I'll have like a little spotlight moment here on someone, I guess. I've started a job recently, and the whole premise of where I work is like basically just we want to be genuine and we want our clients to know that we really do care about them. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have that in their like work motto, but I think this is a place where I've actually felt that. Like, it's not just something they say they want. It's something that everyone is actually striving for. And I think one of the things I've noticed, especially about the owner of the business, is it doesn't matter even if she's like got a lot of different clients that are working with her and she's got a lot of, you know, demands on her time. And it doesn't matter how busy she is, she will take enough time to say hi and really slow down with that person. So even if she spends only 5 minutes with that person, it's like a good, slow 5 minutes. Wow. And it's really been something that's so interesting to me. Like, how does she do that? It seems magical, because when I spend 5 minutes with someone and I'm in a rush, a lot of the 5 minutes is, you know, I've really, you know, I'm kind of in a rush right now, but I'd love to talk to you and I wish I had more time, and we'll have to get back together again soon so we can actually talk when I have more time. Like, all of the 5 minutes is spent on how I don't have time.
You're like, and they're like, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is something that most of us do, you know, when we don't have time, is we reemphasize that, because that's what we're saying in our head is like, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. And what I've noticed is different about her is she, instead of focusing on that, she will just sit with the client and say, I am so glad like you are here. And she will focus on them for like 99% of the 5 minutes. And then 1% she'll mention something like okay, well, I've got a couple other things that I've got to get to now. It's been so good talking with you. You know, thank you for like including me in this. It's been like such an honor. And it's something that I think I've really learned from while talking with people is just, this is something that we can do. Even if we only have 5 minutes, as long as you focus on the time of the 5 minutes, just slowing down those 5 minutes and making it genuine, then it can, you don't have to have a whole hour to sit with someone. It's great if you do, but if you really don't have that time and you still want to be genuine, it is possible. You just have to be thinking about the person you're talking to and not like ignoring that they're there, you know?
Yeah.
The thing that I've learned the most at Noble House, where I work, is just that even if you don't have a whole lot of time, what you do in the 5 minutes that you do have with someone matters more than the amount of time that you have. And if you spend the whole time saying, I don't have time, or even thinking I don't have time, then that's all that is you're going to get out of that conversation. That's all that person's going to feel. If you spend the whole time, if you say, okay, I have 5 minutes, and then you have the entire 5 minutes where you're just like engaging with that person, and you know, you kind of mention like, okay, I've, you know, got to get to something, but I really loved talking with you, or whatever. Like, that's a lot more genuine feeling than if you're trying to be interested in them, but you're not thinking about them at all.
Right. And I think it's even good if you say, you tell them, oh, I've been thinking about you a lot lately. Can we plan to get together? Like right now, can we look at our calendars and just pick a time? Because I feel like if I say, oh, I really want to get together, let's plan something, it's not likely to happen. Once I leave that place and get busy with other things, I may think in my head, oh, I need to get together, or even I really want to get together with that person.
Yeah.
It's harder than if I just say in the moment, hey, do you have a sec? Let's pull up our calendar. When are you free? Let's plan.
Yeah.
Even if it's just like 1 hour, meet for lunch or come to my house or go on a walk at the park.
Yeah.
And actually plan for the next interaction. And then that way they know, oh, I'm not just saying, how are you, and moving on. I actually want to know. So let's plan some time.
Yeah.
So I think that's one thing you can do. Another thing I was thinking is, if you have specific holidays or specific events going on that you know of, that it's really easy to do that. So if I'm just going to keep using grocery store, because I feel like that's the place you run into people and you don't have time because you're trying to get, you know, shopping at home.
Yeah.
Make dinner, whatever. So I feel like if you're at the grocery store and you know it's Halloween coming up and you say, you know, oh my gosh, hey Jane, it's been so long since I've seen you. Do you guys have plans for Halloween? Or, you know, ask about some specific plan or event. And then that shows them, oh, they know I have this event going on, or I have this thing in my life going on, and they asked about it. And then you can move on from there and have a short conversation, or you can plan to get together later. Asking about like kids track meets or something. Usually if you're saying hi, you know them enough that you could ask about something. If you really don't know them well, like maybe it's just a neighbor from your neighborhood that you don't really know, but you know them by face, you know, introduce yourself and say, oh, I live on this house, you know, 3 houses down from you. And oh, every time I walk by, I've loved this tree in your yard, or ask them something they could feel proud about. Like, oh yeah, I've actually spent a lot of time gardening in my yard, or you know, something you've just noticed about their house or their family, or every time I see you out, I always notice how put together you are. And it just, sometime could we get together? Could you show me how to do my makeup better?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like,
yeah,
it could be anything, but something besides, I'm going to say this so I can keep walking. You don't want that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. And I think, it's kind of, reminding me a little bit. I don't know why, but we at church a couple weeks ago, we had this really good conversation about serving people and the way they want to be served. Mm-hmm. And I think that totally plays into this, because if you are genuine and you really are trying to be more connected to people around you, and that's like what you want out of life, you know, then you'll start to kind of realize that people want different things, and there's a lot of different ways to connect with people. Like, some people, if they see you in the grocery store, they really don't want to talk, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you do then? Like, what do you do if you can tell someone's like, I actually am really just in a hurry. I don't have time right now.
I feel like acknowledging that is probably the best way to be genuine. Just, you know, being like, I can tell, you know, you're in a hurry, I'm in a hurry, but it's so good to see you. And then just leaving it at that. But like, that's way more genuine than be like, hey, how are you? Bye. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And maybe if you're really beholding that person and thinking about, why are they in a hurry? What are they rushing off to? And what if you actually thought, I wonder if there's a way I could help her? You know,
mm-hmm.
What
yeah.
if she's really in a hurry, I've got to get to a soccer game, or I've got to get to this thing. And you said, oh, do you want me to pick up that for you? Or you drop something off at their house later that you pick up while you're at the store anyway. And like, oh, I noticed she was in a hurry. I'm just going to grab this extra frozen meal and drop it off and be like, you know what? I know you've got a lot going on. And I thought, I'm picking one up for me. I thought I'd pick one up for you too. We're both busy. And just a quick note, and
yeah.
something like that shows them it wasn't just a quick interaction. I actually was thinking about you. And even mm-hmm. though we didn't have time to talk, it didn't mean that I don't care what's going on in your life. Or
yes. Well, you know. Yeah. And especially, I feel like especially for people who are more like socially anxious, or people who are just more introverted, you know, and are always like wanting to have these long conversations, mm-hmm. then I feel like there's so much to be said about just dropping things by, you know. You don't even have to stay by, just write a little note, drop it by, especially yeah. if it's something that's like really heartfelt. I feel like that really does go a long way, because it's like, they see me for who I am. Like, I don't want them to come over and we just talk and talk and talk. Like, that's really not what I want
mm-hmm.
out of this relationship. And so having them be like, oh my gosh, like, I can have a relationship with this person where I don't feel pressured to do that. That's going to make them feel so safe, you know? Like, wouldn't that be great if everyone got served in the way they wanted to be served? It would make you feel so much more like you actually have people who care about you, and you actually have people who you can tell them like, hey, I really don't feel like hanging out. And you don't have to worry about them like pressuring you or being like, no, you need to hang out. Oh, it's good for you. You know, it's like, totally get it. Okay. Let me know. Like, I'll drop off some cookies at your mailbox if you want it. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it's okay to say, like, if you're having something hard going on and someone says, hey, how are you? I think it's okay to say, you know what? Today's not my best day, but I don't have time to get into it. But you know, I would love to sit and chat about this sometime. I could use yeah. some advice, or, you know, I think it's okay to be honest and let people know you're not doing okay, but right. also that you are. Like, I actually had an amazing day today. This cool thing happened. Can I tell you about it sometime? Like, I'd love to share what I'm working on. Or
yeah.
I think you have yeah. to be vulnerable that way. You have to let people in. Not everybody, like we've talked about before. It's not like every single person you meet, you share your deepest secrets. But
right.
I think it's like, if we go back to the European lifestyle, they slow down enough that they can have those interactions, and they do welcome more people into their family circle.
Yeah.
And I think that mm-hmm. happens by time, you know.
Right.
Allowing time for that. Maybe you're not always going to be able to plan how fast you have to get in and out of a place. But if you know you have to go somewhere that day, just saying, I'm going to leave 10 minutes early just in case I happen to run into someone that I want to say hi to.
Yeah.
You know, plan for it. Mm-hmm. Plan for that casual interaction at the library or at the grocery store.
I love that. I think that's such a cool, and especially if you're going out into the world with that kind of mindset of, you know, you're planning to see people that you want to talk to, but like you're going into it trying to see people as pieces of art. You're going into the world with this fresh perspective that's just like open to whoever comes across your path in whatever mood or way they are in. There's somebody that you're willing to like hold.
Yeah. So I think probably our challenge for the week would be to behold somebody. What does that look like for you? What do you maybe need to practice because it's awkward at first? And mm-hmm. learn how to behold people. And I think maybe part of that practice is beholding other things also. Just in the moments you're in, looking around and saying, what am I not noticing about this moment that I maybe need to observe and show gratitude for? And what people are around me that I'm not seeing, maybe need to see better. And I think that leads right into our next week. We're going to be talking about gratitude as we're coming to the Thanksgiving part of the year. It should be the whole year, but it always is November. Luckily, mm-hmm. we do have that month that can like remind
extra
us.
Extra reminder. Yeah.
That's right. But so, yeah, think about that and we will see you next week.
See you later.